Well, hello everyone, and today I have Larry Lewis from Optilec with me here on Main Menu. And I'm not really sure because everything has been sort of secretive and, you know, all these NDAs that have been floating around. And so he has a number of announcements to make, and I thought I'd just turn it over to you, Larry. First of all, can you introduce yourself to the Main Menu listeners?
Yes, my name is Larry Lewis, and I oversee sales for the United States for Optilec US, who is a subsidiary of Optilec Holding, which is based in the Netherlands. For those of you who have been following what we've been doing over the past 2 years, about a year ago, we released the first wireless Braille input keyboard called EasyLink. And really what EasyLink allowed individuals to do would be to interact with devices such as pocket PCs and cellular phones that are running MobileSpeak, a product that we also distribute and so forth. So what EasyLink allowed us to do, and maybe Marlena, from a user standpoint, you could chime in because I know that you use both. What EasyLink allows you to do is control your phone and access some of the PDA type functions from your phone. So it really transforms your phone into what we internally at Optilec call a blindberry, really sort of a braille-oriented blackberry-ish. And I don't want to confuse listeners. We don't really access blackberries, but it gives you that sort of a braille experience with products such as your cell phone, your pocket PCs. We work with all of the mobile pocket screen readers, mobile speak pocket, and so forth. And it really gives you the ability to take the braille access out of the product that has the intelligence. When you have a note taker, you have Braille access, and in that same device you have a suite of applications or access to a suite of applications that are self-contained in that device. What we wanted to do with EasyLink 12 and with another product that I'm going to be speaking to you about momentarily, we wanted to take out the access from the intelligence so that we could do many different things with that access. And to explain that a little bit more, QWERTY commands have been QWERTY commands since the VersaBraille days, and they've taken different forms as applications have developed and so forth, but I always joke with customers and so forth that it's getting to the point where I think when a blind child is born, he automatically, innately knows how to QWERTY these days, because we know that, you know, when you're using your left hand, you're progressing backwards, and your right hand, you're progressing forwards, hitting different key combinations, and it's just a matter of tweaking those concepts to fit the application. And so we wanted to take the access out of the intelligence so that we would have access to more different types of intelligence, such as PCs, PDAs, cell phones, and so forth, with one access device, sort of like a universal Braille remote control. I'll describe the EasyLink 12 because that's really the new product. So I guess my growing pains with EasyLink was this is great for Braille input. From an economic standpoint, it's great. But for those of us who want pocket-sized, refreshable Braille output, I am a very heavy Braille user. And while speech is okay and economical and so forth, our team really was behind getting a device that has 12 cells in it. Why did we start with 12 cells? The first and primary, well, there's two reasons. The primary reason was for portability. And I'll get into EasyLink in just a moment as far as a description. The second was price. We realized that there are some customers out there who might not have $4,000 to $5,000 to $6,000 for a note taker or even a Braille display and so forth. And so portability and price were really the primary factors for launching first a 12-cell display, and we'll get into some other Braille display lengths later with some other things that we're doing. So I have EasyLink 12 in front of me, and EasyLink 12, from, if you wanted to compare it size-wise from front to back, it is a little bit deeper than a traditional Braille and Speak. It is about 5 inches long. If I start at the back of EasyLink 12 and I move my fingers towards me, I've got the 6-key Braille input. That's 1, 2, and 3 on the left, 4, 5, and 6 on the right. I have a joystick, a 5-way joystick between dots 1 and 4. And then underneath the joystick, I've got 3 keys. I have, depending on what you're using it for, most times the left key would be a shift key, the middle key would be a space key, and the right key would serve as a control key. Below those three keys, I have a 12-cell braille display. And on the end of each braille display, I have a panning button to move left panning back by 12 cells and right panning forward by 12 cells. What I would like to do to show this in action is I have my MobileSpeak cell phone here. Now, I had a bit of a phone catastrophe a little bit earlier this week, so I had to get a new cell phone, which I have running. I don't have everything that I had set up on my old cell phone, such as email and internet and everything else set up. When I use these types of products, I truly take advantage of all of the online capabilities. I have multiple email accounts on my phone. I have web access on my phone. I synchronize my phone with my PC every day to keep my calendar and contacts and notes and to-do lists and different things like that. We work quite closely with Code Factory, a Spanish-based company that makes products both for the Symbian operating system as well as the Pocket PC or the Windows Mobile operating system. Optilec has a little bit more of a focus on the Symbian side of the business. A couple of reasons for that. There are a lot of great things that Windows Mobile can do on the PDA front as well as on the cellular phone front, but I'm a very quick, efficient, productivity-oriented person, and we feel that in a lot of cases, you can accomplish most of what you want to do with a very clean... Symbian has been doing these phone applications for a little bit longer, and it's not that the Microsoft way isn't good or bad or anything, but the Symbian has a few more years under its belt as it relates to very quick, efficient access to applications. So Code Factory is coming out with a version of MobileSpeak that gives you refreshable Braille output support so that not only will you be able to control your phone with a wireless Braille keyboard such as EasyLink, but now you're also able to get Braille output back, which is nice because there are a lot of times I don't want my phone to speak. So for the sake of time, I'm not going to give you every single step-by-step keystroke that I'm hitting, but I'm going to show you what I'm doing. I've got my cell phone booted up right now, and I'm going to hit the key combination within MobileSpeak to open up my configuration, my Configure MobileSpeak menu.
Configure MobileSpeak, normal, active. Activate.
And I'm going to go down to Customize.
Customize.
I'm going to select Customize.
General. Profile name. Normal.
And so I have four tabs here that I'm going to be moving to the right with my joystick. I've got General.
Advanced.
Advanced.
On. On. Custom Verb. List numbers.
Custom Verbosity.
Braille. Braille active. On.
And we've got a Braille Braille display tab here. And so I see that Braille... display, my Braille option is on. If it's off, I would just click my joystick to turn it on.
Braille device, EasyLink 12.
And my last paired Braille device was EasyLink 12, so we're going to turn my EasyLink on now, and we use space K as a toggle to turn that on. And you hear a beep, and you hear three beeps that signify that we have a full battery, and then a chirp that the Bluetooth chip has turned itself on. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to start my Braille server by hitting my left soft key and arrowing down. And it says Start Braille Server, so I'm going to click this.
Braille device, EasyLink 12.
And what will happen is a Bluetooth window will pop up.
Translation table, compressed.
I'm going to try this again.
Braille device, EasyLink
12. We are running beta software, so.
Searching for devices. Braille device, EasyLink 12.
And so we're going to search for all Braille devices around.
Searching, Braille.
And it'll also show Laryl or Larry L, my laptop, which has Bluetooth.
0080960MP038.
We're not going to appear to that, obviously.
Laryl. 0120896 0MP038.
So here's my L12. It shows up in my list.
Devices found. 0120896 0MP038.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to click on L12.
Braille device, EasyLink 12.
And you've heard EasyLink beep in the background, possibly. And now what I can do is we map these keys underneath the six keys to be very similar to your cell phone. So if I hit my left shift key when I'm not in a writing application, I can, that's like my left soft button. And I see change on the Braille display. I can then move my joystick down.
Apply to all profiles.
And I'm driving this and I see apply to all, and I hit my right panning button and I see profiles. And so I'm basically controlling this. And I'm going to exit this by hitting my right button just to back out of it. For those of you who use any of the cell phone screen readers, you're familiar with this. So I'm going to get out of this altogether. And I see T-Mobile, which is my screen and so forth. So I can simply hit space M for my menu, which we're going to have assigned for our menu key, similar to the easy link. And if I go into messaging, I can scroll down. Here's my contacts. I can click my joystick. And I'm just moving down. For some reason, my scrolling down, it allows me to move very, very quickly through this.
Anderson, Maryland. Andrew T-Mobile.
And so forth.
Bryant.
And so if I can move through my B, just because I have some contacts, we're going to go to Bishop first.
Barbara Michael.
And if this scrolling
Bob through,
you guys can hear all of my contacts.
we're writing them all down, right, Jeff?
Yeah, really.
Bishop Dunn.
And here we have
Bishop Jeff
Bishop. And so if I wanted to
open.
I can create a text message.
Text message.
Okay, so now I'm in a text message, and I see the cursor, and I can just put hello.
H-E-L-L.
And obviously, you can change. You can change. You know, your verbosity and so forth. And I'm just going to put hello, Jeff, with an exclamation mark.
Jeff.
And then we brought back the space B if I want a backspace.
Send.
And I can just send this. And it says sending text message. What I'm noticing right now is sometimes the Braille beats the speech to the punch, which is nice for me. And it really gives you that pocket-sized blindberry type feel. I mean, I've got all of those. I mean, I can either cord up and down. I can use my joystick, you know, doing things like space M for your menu, space D to send or dial, space P for power and battery, space B for your proverbial backspace and so forth. It really feels good to long-time note-taker users with carrying something around that's, you know, 10 ounces versus something that really fits in the inner pocket of my suit jacket when I'm walking around. So I have my cell phone in my shirt pocket, that, and I have pocket Braille access with all these applications on the go.
And Larry, if I can just add one thing and then ask a question to kind of get it out onto the table. The thing I want to add is another benefit of having at least Braille input. One of the criticisms people have leveled against the phones, the Symbian phones that manage screen readers, is the keys are so small, you can't get used to them. And of course, having the commands to access things like menu and power and dial and so forth really eliminates that. But also, if you just really want to quickly dial a number from your main screen, you just Braille it in and press space D and boom, the number's being dialed. The question I wanted to ask you, because I think that listeners will want to know this, you're talking about Easy Link 12 running with mobile speak. Is there any plan that it would ever run with Tox?
I think let me just back up and explain that Optilec has a fairly tight exclusive relationship with Code Factory and mobile speak. So at the same token, it's important that we provide choice to our consumers who may wish to work with Tox and so forth. We're not in a position to where we can do that development for Tox, just for a number of contractual reasons and so forth with Code Factory. However, from my perspective, you know, Tox has some Braille support in place already, and it wouldn't be too difficult for Nuance to once, you know, having the protocols for our device and so forth make that happen. Optilec is in a bit of a, I think a rock and a hard place is too strong, but we want to be very customer-centric, but at the same time, we have a mutually exclusive relationship with Coke Factory that we need to honor on our end and make the product really sing and really work very well with mobile speak. That doesn't preclude, from my perspective, that doesn't really preclude the product from working with Pox at some point in the future.
Larry, I had a question about the EasyLink 12 in reference to its portability. The keys that are on it and the little joystick that are on it. Now, is there a cover that can go over top of that? So let's say that you're or some way of locking the keys so that, you know, if it's in your pocket or if it's in, you know, a briefcase or something and it gets jostled about that you're not sending commands to the phone?
We have a case that is a wraparound case where and a couple of pieces of strategically placed Velcro on the bottom of EasyLink that sits in a case and it wraps around and there's a fastener on the front. So there is a case that protects it fairly well, and I wouldn't want to release a product like this without a case, both to protect the Braille display as well as, and the product can actually be used while in the case. When you open up the case, you're able to Braille with the product in the case. It's got a full back on it, and then the two sides and the front are open. The best thing to really, without getting a chuckle out of too many people, it would be almost shaped like a squarish taco shell. It kind of wraps around. You know me and food. I've got to relate everything to food. So, it would be sort of like, you know, an EasyLink taco shell if you want to put it into layman's terms as to what it looks like. And the product sits in there, will stand there. I'm quite comfortable with the product around my neck. There are, with the 12, a little bit differently than EasyLink, the smaller, just the standard EasyLink. There, we do have the strap attached to the 12 for security and so forth. I'm pretty confident just in tugging on this and so forth. This is pretty sturdy within the case. You can remove it from the case and use it out of the case if you'd like, but I'd say about 95% of the time I use the product in the case.
Okay, and I know this is sort of beyond the scope of what we've talked about so far, but I just thought I'd throw it out there. Are you going to make the driver specifications available for the EasyLink 12 so that it can be used as a Bluetooth device to be able to communicate with, for example, JAWS or WindowEyes as far as screen reading goes?
You know what? That is a perfect segue because we have done some things already, which I'd like to demonstrate. I'm going to need to slide my headphones off so that you folks can hear my computer. So if I am drowning myself out with the computer, please chime in. But I'd like to briefly show you this connected. We have a JAWS driver and the makings of a WindowEyes driver done already for the device. We also have a SAM driver for Dolphin users as well. For the sake of, I think, familiarity and so forth, I'd like to demonstrate the product that we've got working, the EasyLink driver that we have working with JAWS. What we've been able to do is make some modifications to our Braille Voyager driver to make this a pretty seamless process for customers, and I have everything installed and so forth. So what I've done is I've disconnected from my cell phone. I'm going to turn EasyLink back on. Okay, so what I'd like to do is demonstrate, obviously EasyLink 12 is not going to be a workstation situation for people sitting at a computer all day to use 12 cells for a Braille display solution. But what it does allow for you to do using your screen reader of choice is to make accessing the PC wirelessly quite interesting and actually quite effective. And a good application scenario for that would be if you were in an office situation and you had a meeting across the hall in a conference room, you could actually take EasyLink 12 with you and access your PC from the other room and access information off your PC and do different things like that from across the room. So I always like to try to relate this to how are we going to use this in real life. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into my Toshiba or my Bluetooth stack. And I'm going to open that up. We'll go into detailed settings. going to, I've already paired my Easy Link 12 up. And so I'm going to hit, I'm going to go up to my connectivity menu. And we've disconnected. And I'm going to need to unload and reload my screen reader very quickly. And I'll reload JAWS. So now what I can do is I can use all of my, really we took a lot of the same Voyager commands that are prevalent throughout our documentation and so forth and apply them to this. So if I press a Braille letter M, and now if I scroll up, I can open up my menu. And so my right and left buttons allow me to move the Braille display with me. I'm going to exit out of this just by hitting. Now, dots 7 and 8, which are traditionally shift and control when using a PDA, with this particular screen reader now become backspace and enter. So now I see on the screen on my EasyLink 12 my start button. I can use, in this particular scenario, my joystick for tab, shift tab, alt tab, control tab. I've got my panning buttons to move left and right. And as you move farther to the right, because you have to pan a fair amount with 12 cells, you also move up and down. And so I'm tabbing. And I'm in my system tray. And so I'm able to move around like that. I'm able to press enter on my start, obviously. I'm able to escape out of that. I'm able to press things like S for start, D for desktop, J for JAWS, W for window eyes, T for top, B for bottom. We're very mnemonic oriented because it's just when you've got a Braille display in the mix, you want to try to minimize your training curve and so forth when you're teaching screen readers or using the screen reader on the job and so forth. For screen readers who allow for Braille entry, such as Window Eyes and Dolphin, you'll also be able to write directly to the PC. And so you'll not even just be able just to navigate, but also to write and so forth.
Before we move on to the next device that we'll be speaking about, can you tell us two things? Number one, the price point. And number two, will our listeners coming to convention have an opportunity to get this in hand and touch it and feel it and use it?
Well, this product started shipping last month, so the answer to as far as price points and as far as getting the product in hand, yes, we'll be showing EasyLink 12. The list price of the EasyLink 12 is $19.95. We wanted to keep the unit less than $2,000. So that's $19.95. We also at Optilec offer a productivity suite of applications that sort of bridges the gap for note taker users into the realm of pocket PCs, and we call that software PocketWrite. And what PocketWrite does is it allows you to access things like your contacts, your email, your tasks, your calendar. We have a word pad and a calculator built into this productivity suite of applications that write to the corresponding applications on a PDA. So we have that product for the sake of time. I'm not going to really demonstrate that a lot, but that product is really for your Braille and Speak voice note type user who wants to become familiar in a very grade 2 Braille-oriented fashion, note-taker fashion to these applications. So on the front end, they look very similar to what you might use on a note taker, but the back end, they're writing directly to those corresponding applications on your pocket PC. So that's $19.95 for EasyLink 12 and $22.95 for folks who wish to also acquire the PocketWrite productivity suite of applications. It's not a full screen reader for your power users and so forth. Your mobile speak pocket and Pocket Hell type screen readers there are drivers available, and you would just have to bundle the cost of either of those screen readers with the $19.95. And obviously we'll be making the Braille display drivers free of charge on our FTP site. And we are going to be running some specials that I'll be announcing before the summer shows as it relates to providing things like, you know, this free software packages and so forth with that $19.95 price. So got a lot of exciting things going on with EasyLink 12, with mobile speak coming out with Braille support, the emerging screen readers on the market, and using this as a 12-cell wireless Braille assistant with your PC.
Larry, are you going to be offering a bundle for Mobile Speak Pocket from Code Factory in combination with EasyLink?
Yeah, we do sell Mobile Speak Pocket as well, and that bundle, off the top of my head, I think we're looking at $25.20, and we also have some PDAs we can bundle that with. Your initial investment in EasyLink 12 bundle will be, you know, between $2,500 and $2,800, but the beauty of it is, when you want to move in a 6 months to a year to a new piece of intelligence, you just have to replace that intelligence. The hard part, the 1995, is behind you, and you then pay a couple hundred dollars to graduate or move to a new piece of intelligence. Access and Braille do not change. Cording will not change. 20 years from now, cording will be cording. But applications and, you know, devices that are available, devices that your sighted friends and colleagues are using, those change every few months. And so that's what we're trying to achieve with EasyLink 12, and I think we're off to a very good start doing that. So with that, I'd like to move on to what we're going to be debuting in the next week or so at both of the summer conventions. And what I have in front of me is a product called the Alva BC 6 series. What we did basically last September is we purchased the assets of Alva BV, which is the Dutch-based parent company for Alva, who many of you have used and have heard of over the past 20 years or so. And it's been a very nice acquisition for us, both from their current product standpoint. We do a lot of satellite business, Alva satellite business throughout Europe still, and also working with VisionQ in the U.S., which is a West Coast distributor of products. And Larry Lake, who many of you know, has been very instrumental in the success of the Alva throughout the U.S., so we still work with Larry Lake quite a bit in that capacity. We've been able to acquire quite a bit of know-how and product expertise through this acquisition and through some of our own efforts. And so what I have in front of me is a product called Alva BC, or the Alva Braille Controller. We're positioning this as the ABCs of refreshable Braille access.
Today, Optilec is setting the standard in Braille communication. The Alva Braille Controller 6 series is the first series of wireless Braille controllers that merges classic Braille display access with modern note-taking functionality. Are you looking for a stylish, wireless, and portable Braille access solution? Then one of the Alva Braille controllers is your ideal companion. No matter whether you're a professional or a student, whether you use it at home or while on the go. Let's take a closer look at the first Braille controller of this family, the Alva BC640. The smooth surface of the Braille line and the high-quality Optilec Braille cells provide optimal reading comfort. The cursor routing buttons have been positioned below the Braille line, ensuring quick and efficient activation. With Optilec's e-touch navigation buttons on both sides of the Braille line, you easily scroll left and right without moving your hands from the Braille line. The traditional thumb keys ensure effortless navigation and give the Alva BC the familiar Alva look and feel you have known for decades. The high-speed USB connects the Alva BC to any laptop or PC without having to install a driver. With its built-in wireless Bluetooth technology, the Alva BC gives you access to mainstream devices such as laptops, smartphones, and PDAs within a circle of 100 meters or 300 feet. Even if you use these devices and applications simultaneously, the integrated SmartPad of the Alva BC provides instant access and smart navigation without moving your hands from the Braille display. Upon request, the Alva BC can be equipped with internal memory, allowing you to store documents or host your preferred screen reader software. Since the Alva BC uses the intelligence of mainstream devices, it never gets outdated. With the Alva BC, you're always in control. In addition, the optional feature pack makes the Alva BC more than just a regular Braille display or note taker. The ergonomically designed Braille keyboard gives you the ability to comfortably and efficiently write Braille. An integrated notepad enables you to write, save, and modify your notes. High-quality audio allows you to listen to your favorite speech synthesizer on your smartphone, PDA, or laptop while reading corresponding information on your Braille line. The Alva BC offers you countless possibilities in wireless communication with an ultra-compact design. Whether you make a quick note, check your email using your smartphone, surf the web using your PDA, connect to your PC from another location, listen to your favorite book in high-quality speech, or simply read a newspaper in Braille. The Alva Braille Controller 6 Series is setting the standard in Braille communication.
If I start in the front of the product, we have four thumb keys, that your traditional Alva-type thumb keys and, you know, Tiemann Optelec-oriented thumb keys, and those can be used and mapped according to the specific applications for panning up and down and left and right. In the middle of those four thumb keys, we have a smaller rocker button that can move left and right, and that allows us to, again, to just assign based on the application. So you've got those traditional ergonomic, I mean, in a day of wheels and buttons and all different types of things, I'm a real traditionalist as it relates to the thumb keys and just that ergonomic comfort of having your hands on the Braille display and being able to use those thumbs to navigate. Beyond that, if we move behind those thumb keys on the top of the unit, we, because we want it to be in tune with other PDA and cell phone applications and so forth, we put a group of buttons on the device which we're calling the smart pad. And what a smart pad is if you have felt a Windows Mobile or a Pocket PC, you know on the bottom of the device you've got two buttons, a joystick, and then another two buttons. We pretty much have a pad like that on the Braille display that we'll be able to map as it relates to, again, Mobile Speak Pocket and some of the other PDA applications out there. And we're calling it a smart pad. So we have a four button, distinct buttons in the middle of which are a joystick, up, down, left, right, and if you push in the middle, there's a dot for an enter. And then on the left, we've got two buttons, and on the right, we have two buttons. Again, calling that our smart pad key combinations and so forth. It'll be very easy then for us to map these keystrokes as it relates to driving a PDA or even some cell phone usages and so forth, and have more combinations than just a traditional Braille display. As we move behind the smart pad, we have done something a little bit differently than some other Braille display manufacturers. The primary reason behind doing this was to conserve on space. I mean, we have a device here which from front to back is, the base unit is four, less than 4 inches, quite honestly. I can have my thumb on the thumb key and my pointer on the back of the base without even fully extending my hand. And then it's the length of a 40-cell Braille line. But what we've done in order to achieve that sort of portability is we put the touch cursors below the Braille cells, and we position them in such a way so that they're not going to be very easy for you to activate as you're reading Braille. But what you can do, instead of reaching up to click a touch cursor, you simply slide your finger down to that cursor and you're able to push and you're able to route the cursor and so forth. We did that because the circuitry underneath the Braille cell would expand the depth of the product from front to back. We wanted to go for the more portable option, and an option that I think is quite different. And in using this product, if I'm running my finger across, it is becoming just more comfortable for me just to slide my finger down and click instead of reach up and make sure that I have the right touch cursor. So I think for those of you who are coming to the convention, you're really going to like how we've positioned these. We have our Braille cells above that. And on the end of each of the Braille cells, we have what we're calling our e-touch buttons for easy navigation and so forth. And our e-touch buttons, you can push down on the top or down on the bottom to achieve different things. There are some products who sort of do that now. We feel that this is quite comfortable, and you're able to, again, we'll have different applications and different platforms will have assigned keystrokes for those key commands and so forth. And that, and then obviously this device, we do have USB access. There's USB on the left, and there's Bluetooth. Speaking of the feature pack, which really makes this stand out as a hybrid between note-taking and Braille display access, is we have probably about an inch and a half from front to back a feature pack which can connect to the back of your base unit. And what you have now is a Braille keyboard with a space bar and keys that can be assigned left and right of your six keys for anything, control, Windows keys, we're still getting all of those ironed out and so forth. You pretty much have a Braille input device connected to your Braille display, and on each end of the feature pack, you have a speaker. So that what we can achieve, as the video was indicating, is when we have this feature pack connected, we have Braille input, we have Braille output, we are able to connect to multiple devices, and with these speakers, we're also able to establish a Bluetooth link with things like your PC, your cellular phone if you wanted some applications and so forth, and have Braille input, output, as well as audio output at the same time linking to different devices. The device on the base unit also has the capability to have expanded memory. We did that for a few reasons. We are going to have a notepad-like word pad, so to speak, within the device for file management and storage capabilities, but we will also have the capability of hosting your preferred screen reader, sort of like you would on a USB drive now with any of the major screen readers. We're going to have that capability where a person, when they're connected to their Alva Braille controller, can store their screen reader files on their Braille display and actually run, host their screen reader from their Alva BC. So you'll also be able to link via Bluetooth from your screen reader being hosted on your Alva BC to your computer. And to me, as this technology evolves and as you're able to carry USB drives and so forth with you to run screen readers, this is going to allow you to take your access device and to connect to different PCs that might not have access on them. And so I think that that is really truly revolutionary, being able to take something that gives you Braille input, Braille output, speech output, again, having your intelligence of your preferred screen reader on board that might also run on your PC, and be able to host that screen reading session on your Alva BC.
Larry, what screen readers will you be supporting with the onboard technology?
We're supporting them all, the main three, the JAWS, WindowEyes, and the Dolphin products. So we will do whatever necessary to make sure all are supported.
So, Larry, am I understanding correctly, or am I dreaming, that if I host my screen reader on the feature pack on the base unit, I will be able to take this device and Braille display to any computer and get speech and Braille output without installing my screen reader onto that third computer?
If your screen reader that you choose allows you to do that, it will be conceivable to do that with the Alva BC. Now, I know that a couple now you have to have an authorization and so forth on board, and I know that they're moving towards having a demo copy on your hard drive and so forth. I think as this technology evolves, and quite honestly, not to give any company a plug here, but the company that I'm really keeping an eye on is Ceratec, because they're really
right.
starting to do some very neat things.
Right.
Have been chatting a little bit with Mike and so forth, because I really see that company as being the company that's really going to stand out amongst these screen readers and who really understands the importance of not being able to do that. So that's another partner that we see on the horizon as it relates to getting this technology to do exactly as you suggest. I can take you into some of the menus and show you how this works, and I can also connect this to my PC and give you a brief demo. We are going to have, we're scrambling to have some other things in place for the summer shows, but at this stage, if I reach to the back right of the base and I push in, you're going to hear a little music, as Alva is noted for. And what is happening is, it sounds like it already connected to my PC via Bluetooth. If I hit my, going back to my smart pad, my bottom of my joystick with buttons to the left and right, I'm going to hop into a menu, which Alva is also noted for, and it shows me my first option, battery 100%. I wanted to make sure I was good and charged for this demo. I'm going to push down on my joystick, and I'm going to move to my next menu item, which says Bluetooth status, and it says connected. If I go down, I can connect. It says BT connect if I need it to connect. And this automatically auto-paired. If I needed the device the first time to be BT discovery, I would click on this. And, of course, BT class we have is one. BT pin, we even put the pin in here for you, which is all zeros, much like other devices such as Bluetooth headphones and so forth. So we have that. We have our BT name is our Alva BC640, and we have our output braille table, our input braille table, and I'm scrolling through all of these menus, our dot pressure, our number of status cells where we can customize how many status cells or no status cells.
Oh, that's nice.
Moving them to the left or to the right. And let's see, I guess that would be a bit back. I guess that would be pretty much. Oh, we have key repeats. We have a few other things in here as well.
So you can actually customize the dot pressure?
Yes. And there's some other things such as your cursor routing. Some of this I'm still learning as well. We can do some different things as far as having cursor routing buttons above our status cells do different things. And there's lots of different things you can do internally. Alva has always been very strong as it relates to creating good firmware inside their products from all the way back to the DOS days. It's always been very solid firmware. And so now I see here my documents and so forth. And we're still getting all of the key mappings and different things sorted out. But I envision the smart pad serving primarily as your arrow pads and have some really neat ideas as to how we want to map these other buttons and so forth for getting around the screen, for jumping to things like form fields and tables. And again, very much is going to be specific on the screen reader, but we really wanted to take advantage of all the different keys that we have access to. And so I've got this connected Bluetooth, and again, I've got my internal memory. What I'm fairly confident we're going to be able to do, the base will be made available first. The feature pack will come separately because we want to make sure that we have all the Braille input and everything worked out for all these multiple devices. But ultimately, with your feature pack, I'm hoping that we can also share files and move files between the PC and into the internal storage and so forth so that we're able to carry stuff around. You will have some limited onboard notepad-like note-taking capabilities. But that will be the extent as to what is on board. The object here is to connect. The object here is to connect the many things. And the object here is to increase the amount of applications this has access to by connecting to multiple devices. So again, you've got not a note taker, not a braille display, but sort of a hybrid that gives you the numerous possibilities with all the applications at your fingertips with some of the traditional braille display know-how of a note-taker.
I have two questions. One is battery life on both the EasyLink 12 and the ABC device. What would that be?
We are looking at, it's primarily panning out to be, I would say, depending on usage and so forth, continuous use, straight continuous use, anywhere from 12 to 20 hours on the EasyLink 12. And I don't have the spec in front of me, but I would think we would want to surpass that with the Alva 40, both which have rechargeable batteries. We need to keep we need to keep that, in my from my perspective, above 12 hours of continuous use.
And are the batteries in either or both devices user replaceable?
So this is a good question, Marlene, and it's a nice segue into what I want to speak about just for a minute. The batteries are not user replaceable at this stage, nor is the feature pack user do not disable to snap it on. We want to have it screwed in firmly to the base and so forth. And until this product and this concept matures, we want to be very hands-on to make sure that the customer has everything. We don't want customers to struggle having issues getting batteries in, connecting feature packs and different things like that. I think one thing that all of the companies, myself included, over the years have done a very good job of is having an out-of-the-box experience. You open the product up, and in the case of a note taker, just everything is there. And
yeah, it just
works. We're realizing that this is new ground. This concept is new. We have, as an industry, put a lot of expectation on the suppliers to provide out-of-the-box solutions that work. And I will, I hope I don't get myself in trouble with anybody who's listening, but that's not really how it works a lot of times when a sighted person buys something like a cell phone or a pocket PC or a Windows mobile device or something like that. While Bluetooth is great, and I am a huge fan of Bluetooth, there are some things that we're going to have to carefully document. There are some support systems that we're going to have in place because anybody, sighted, blind, or anything, when you pair a device, there's just a few things that you have to do. It's not this out-of-the-box, self-contained, go along your merry way, take notes, and so forth. There are issues, sighted or blind, as this technology emerges, as things evolve and so forth. And we don't want, at this stage, to add any more stress to that situation by having battery packs and having, selling things that have to be screwed together in certain ways and so forth. And for the time being, we want to be a little bit hands-on in this into this concept and these products mature a little bit. And that's no disrespect to the blind community. It's just traditionally we as suppliers do a good job of providing things out of the box ready to go. And so we view this as a way of sort of meeting the industry where they're at and taking them into this whole technology evolution or adaptive tech, getting into some of the realms of how sighted persons interact and pair and connect and use and thrive and benefit from various types of technologies using one or two devices to access these different types of technology.
When do you think the Alva Braille controller will be shipping? Do you have any clue?
Well, sales teams always say things earlier than they're supposed to. From a sales perspective, we want it now. From a development perspective and an administrative perspective, I see the base units shipping in full swing by September, with hopefully the feature pack to come in the immediate future after that. And for persons who buy the base unit and feature pack up front and get the base unit delivered first, we'll take care of them as far as call tagging the units, installing the feature pack, and all necessary bells and whistles, and get their product back to them very, very quickly. But from my perspective, it should be ready to go and should be shipping. The base unit should be ready to go and shipping by the beginning of the school year.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, what does the price point look like for it?
We are running price points of $44.95 for the base and $49.95 for the feature pack. Most people in this country, because this country being the U.S., because we are so note-taker oriented and application-specific oriented, get the feature pack. It's worth the money. It's less than $5,000, and it really helps the product step out and really truly epitomize that whole refreshable Braille controller experience that we're aiming for. We'll be running some, again, a number of specials at the shows and so forth. We'll be doing a few sessions at each show, and we'll be there in force at all the shows, as well as the AER International show after, after the summer conventions and so forth. So we're keeping the price under $5,000 for the whole package just to get the product rolling and so forth. And again, we're able to do what a lot of companies aren't able to do because we don't have to purchase those Braille cells, which are the real sticking point as far as the cost of this technology.
So I just want to clarify, are you saying, because I think I'm confused, are you saying that you're hoping that the price point for the entire setup, for the display and the feature pack, will be under $5,000?
No, it's on our price list. It's $49.95. As far as the base, the entire Alva Braille controller with the feature pack is $49.95.
Ah, okay, great.
The base unit, because we do have USB, and a person could buy the base unit where it would thrive a little bit more as a Braille display with some internal memory and so forth, because the internal memory is stored on the base unit, and they could buy that for less than $4,500. But for this product to really step out, the feature pack is really the future of the product, is the way I see it.
How much memory is going to be on that?
I believe we're looking at 200 megs to easily host a screen reader, but I'll be getting some clarification on that before we're ready to release it. I also want to make clear that this by no means spells the end of the Alva satellite or the Braille Voyager. We're wanting to position the Braille Voyager as our low-cost $3,500, $6,000 for the desktop model, our low-cost workstation type products, our Alva satellite as our transition middle-of-the-road type products, and our Alva BC as more of our Cadillac line of products. So this doesn't spell the end of those other two traditional Braille displays by any means. It just gives us a much richer and a much deeper product portfolio when you include the EasyLink 12s and the Alva Braille controller in the mix. Well, it's always a pleasure being on Main Menu, and as I said at the beginning, it's been a while since I've had the pleasure of being on Main Menu. My work email address is LARRYL@optelec.com. The toll-free phone number in the United States for Optelec is 1-800-826-4200, and I'm at extension 260. And again, we'll all be there in force at the summer shows, and I know many of you know Joanne and Jeff and Jim, and a few folks will be coming over from the parent company and so forth, and so we'll all be there, and we'll all be equipped to handle your questions, do some demonstrating of the products and so forth, and we're really looking forward to both of the shows this year. We think it's going to be a great time. We always enjoy coming to these shows and interacting with the customers, and we think we have some very new, interesting, fresh ideas beyond what's currently happening in this industry that we're happy to share with you.